'Twas the week before Christmas, and all through the league, there were many results that would shock and intrigue. We thought we all knew how this season would end, but several games would leave doubts to contend. The playoff picture seemed complete and done, till six losing teams played up and they won. With me at the alehouse with some good food to eat, I just settled down, a good view from my seat. When up on the scoreboards there arose much confusion. Box score so strange, was this an illusion? So as for six losers who all won their game, I list them all now, in the order they came. The Redskins, the Panthers, the Colts and the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Chargers, giving football griefs. For the Colts they had proved that you can't lose them all. For the Chiefs their upset made undefeated fall. Skins over Giants brought more weird to the East. Panthers Newton beat Houston. That kid's a beast. With all of this news, more surprise to contrive. The Eagles and Chargers, playoffs still alive. The Seahawks and Tebow, they did as I thought. But six other teams, it's trap games they brought. Even if you think that this rhyme's really lame, happy holidays to you from the student of the game. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very festive week 15. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Chris is here with me while Weasel is away on a cruise. That's the advantage to living in Florida, is you can actually go out on the ocean, you know, in December, wear Hawaiian shirts and all that, and be outside and all of it. I mean, yeah, so there you go. At any rate, so some events that took place during this very crazy week six, some of it cited in the previous intro there. We have six, count them, six teams with losing records toppling teams with winning records. Three of them happen to be featured teams, so I won't break the ice there. But some of the ones that weren't our featured teams here, we have Cam Newton and his Carolina Panthers putting down Houston. We have the Eagles smacking the Jets all over the place. Big playoff implications there because the Jets play the Giants next week. If they lose that game, the Bengals are looking pretty solid should they maintain their winning pace. And then, I guess the shocker of them all, interim coach Romeo Crennel for the Chiefs finishes the day against the Packers, the formerly undefeated Packers. And so now they're 13-1. Rather than 13-0, 72 Dolphins pop open the cork and you know, get a little holiday drinky-drink in before Christmas. So let's get into that particular piece a little bit real quick, too. Two left tackles go down. One the starter, Beluga, and one is a rookie. The backup gets hurt as well, so they have to shift the left guard over to the tackle spot and fill in that backup back in the left guard spot. So that, on top of the fact that the Packers D was the Packers D and let first-time starter for the Chiefs anyway, Kyle Orton, clean up for Tyler Palko. That's kind of a perfect storm there. Tomba Haley of the Chiefs getting three sacks out of the four on the day. Kind of a little perfect storm of disaster there with the defensive coordinator having to step in for Todd Haley after he got fired. Romeo Crennel, former teammates or co-workers with the Patriots. So anything to throw in on that, Chris? Or?
No, I mean, also with the Packers, I mean, they had, besides that, also Greg Jennings was out.
Right.
So our star receiver. So
I know, actually, I was forgetting something in there.
They could actually, you know, shift things around, but mm-hmm. just the defense, I mean, they were known for sacks, known for, you know, interceptions this year, and didn't have either.
Yeah. We know their pass defense is particularly weak because they're opportunistic. The word they're looking for is aggressive, by the way.
I mean, they're missing people in the secondary as well, like Tremont
right.
Williams and,
right.
you know, Woodson, you know, nicked up a little bit.
But right, but and see, the funny thing about that is you bring up the passing defense. The Chiefs' run wasn't exactly sad either. You know, they had five different running backs. I mean, there's some stat, there's a stat line there for Orton himself, but that's mostly, you know, oh God, don't kill me, running, scrambling attempts, mostly sacks. But the running core themselves propelled the offense a good distance and kept Aaron Rodgers off the field. If you got it there, see if you can find the time of possession for me.
Yeah, time of possession was 36 minutes for the Chiefs, 24 for the 23:49 for the Pack.
So yeah, it's about 8 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that's a big deal, and I mean, we've talked a lot before about keeping Tom Brady off the field or keeping Drew Brees off the field. They kept Aaron Rodgers off the field, and when he was on the field, he was running for his life, running away from Tom Bahaley, with a weakened offensive line. It's not the first time that the Packers have seen this, and they can still produce when they have it, as they have in past years, but the defense is not what it was in previous years as well.
They had no sacks. They had one QB knockdown throughout the game. That means they were Kyle Orton just standing there.
La, la, la. The ball. Ow.
I mean, it's, you know, three pass defended as well. I mean, I know that's a weird little stat, but also, I mean, they had other injuries on the offensive line as well. What was it? Josh Sitton's been hurt as well, starting right guard.
Oh, okay. So they're already down.
I don't know if he was back yesterday or not, but I mean, he was out the last couple games.
That's kind of a big deal. I mean, so we're already makeshift as well. And then now we have two spots down just at the left tackle spot. So it's kind of that's a problem, to say the least. So anyways, I mean, the pop quiz on this being, first of all, Romeo Crennel got a cooler bath for winning this game. Was that a little bit of a overreaction?
You know, it is the Chiefs. I mean, it puts them to, 6-8 still. It's not too bad.
They're technically still in playoff contention should the Broncos lose both their games and then the Chargers lose both their games. But
and then the Raiders lose their games. And
well, the Raiders are pretty – I mean, what are the
Raiders are pretty much out.
Yeah.
What is their record?
They lost to the Lions thanks to Ndamukong Suh blocking a field goal by Sebastian Janikowski, which, of course, a supporting effort by Calvin Johnson. 9 catches, 214 yards with 2 touchdowns. That's like 40 fantasy points or something stupid like that.
All right. Raiders are 7-7, so they got a better record than the Chiefs right now.
They lose a lot of tiebreakers, if I remember correctly.
Right. They play the Chiefs this week, and they play the Chargers. So if the Chargers do win out, then yeah. But
so yeah. If the Chargers win out, and, well, the Broncos the also... Right, and the Broncos also play the Chiefs in their last week. The Broncos got Buffalo coming up. So it's a favorable schedule, and, of course, we'll be talking about the Broncos plenty more as we get in past the homeroom session. Class is in session. Let's go ahead and get going with the featured teams. And we're going to open off with one of those 6 losing teams that beat a winning team. The Titans, to everyone's surprise, or at least last week to my surprise, found to be very strong in playoff contention. Well, they took a step back. How do you mean? They played the Colts and lost 27-13. Matt Hasselbeck, doing his best to attempt to be a quarterback for the Titans, had 27 for 40, 223 yards, 2 interceptions on the day. His performance at the quarterback spot rendering about 65%. Not his best, not bad, but the 2 interceptions were a murder. They took him out in favor of rookie Jake Locker, who went 11 for 16 with 108 yards and a touchdown. On the ground, Chris Johnson, 15 carries, 55 yards. Kind of a non-factor here, going 3.67 a carry. Donald Brown, 16 carries, check this, 161 yards, 10 yards a carry. Now, yeah, okay, fine. He had an 80-yard touchdown. Still 15 for 81 yards when you take that out. 5.4 a carry. Kind of a big deal.
He's better than Chris Johnson.
Better than Chris Johnson, exactly. Tight end Jared Cook was the top receiver for the Titans. He went 9 catches for 103 yards. Did, however, lose a fumble. Lavelle Hawkins had 8 for 88. Nate Washington, 7 for 62. And Chris Johnson had 8 catches for 54 yards. Only 1 fewer than his running yards. In the air for the Colts, the top performers, Wedgie Wayne had 3 catches for 33 yards. that's not very much with a touchdown. And then Pierre Garçon lost a fumble on his day where he had two catches for 24 yards. So let's go ahead. Call me up Dan Orlovsky's numbers there, because I was kind of focused on comparing Hasselbeck to Locker.
Right. He was 11 for 17 with 82 yards and a touchdown.
So really kind of in par with Locker's performance there, the touchdown obviously being to Reggie Wayne. For me, a stat here that kind of made a difference, we have 1 for 3 in the red zone by the Titans. And, of course, the one time the Colts were in the red zone, they had a touchdown. So there's a score for the 80-yard touchdown. That's outside the red zone. Also have to mention cornerback Jacob Lacy, who picked off Matt Hasselbeck to take him to the house for a touchdown there as well. So a lot of mistakes. I count 3 turnovers there to the Colts 1. And the red zone performance combination there, you know, the Colts won a game. It's not so much that they deserved it, but, I mean, it's proof that turnovers can kill any team against any opponent, whether they're 0-13 or not.
Right. I mean, also, I mean, penalty is a factor, too. Titans 7 for 70.
Oh, wow.
Penalties, the Colts were 4 for 25.
Sloppy.
Yes, right. But then also, I mean, you're the Titans playing against the Colts. Why are you attempting to throw the ball 56 times?
Oh, yeah.
Indianapolis's rush defense is not all that great.
They're traditionally bad. I mean,
right. And then Chris Johnson, only 15 carries. Yeah, 55 yards, 3.7. Still 3.7. That's 3 carries. That's a first down.
And looking at the differential there, what is that, 9 points? That's not really out of contention. Or no, excuse me, 14 points. That really wasn't out of contention. I mean, at what point did the Colts score their latest touchdown there?
They were all in the third quarter. It was 17-6 in the third quarter, at the end of the third quarter. Right, and then at the beginning of the fourth quarter, they kicked the field goal. So it's 20-6 is the worst. And then, you know, the Titans scored touchdown, brought into within 7, and then Donald Brown broke off that 80-yard run to ice the game.
Yeah, so come the fourth quarter, I can see why you might be abandoning the run then. But why I don't know. The coaches get all panicky. I mean, you know. Now, this next game, I can see why you would abandon the run early in this game, as the Jacksonville Jaguars lost to the Falcons 41-14. Now, for those who may not remember, the Jags' previous game, they won 41-14 against the Bucks, but needed 7 turnovers to accomplish that feat. Well, they had turnovers of their own, 4 turnovers to Atlanta's 0. Blaine Gabbert threw 12 for 22, 54%, 141 yards with a touchdown and a pick, while Matt Ryan looked more like Matty Ice, granted, not against the best opponent. 19 for 26, 73%, 224 yards, count them, 3 touchdowns. Chris Redmond came in for a few throws. He went 5 for 6 himself. The only real bright spot for the Jags offense, big shock here, Maurice Jones drew the kid they call Mojo, 17 carries, 112 yards. Michael the Burner Turner had his own ground contribution for the Falcons, 19 carries, 61 yards with a touchdown of about 3.1 per carry. See, Taylor Price, check that first name for me. I think I'm getting that wrong, but it's
Taylor Price.
Taylor Price, I was correct. Okay, had 2 catches for 39 yards, and then Chaston West. 3 catches. Chaston West had 3 catches for 38 yards and a touchdown.
Second year player from Fresno.
Yeah, and but here's some players who made. Mentioning here real quick, Jarrett Diller had 2 catches for 12 yards. We got to mention him because it was good or bad. It was bad. He lost a fumble. So that's 3 lost fumbles and a pick on the day. 3 turnovers in total by Blaine Gabbert, looking like a rookie, so to speak. In the air for the Falcons, only real 2 performances worth mentioning and some ridiculous fantasy points for somebody. Roddy White, 10 catches, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns. Julio Jones had 5 catches on, 85 yards with a touchdown. Not a bad fantasy day for him as well. I mean, other than the turnovers, the difference makers here, third down percentage, 30% for the Jags, 40% for the Falcons. Red zone percentage, the Jags had a kind of a bright spot here defensively. Only 2 for 5 in the air, and the red zone were the Falcons. And the one red zone trip the Jags had, they did at least score. So when they tried to do something, they were successful. They just weren't doing very much. Something like that.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't think we got anything else on that game.
Nothing else on that game.
So, yeah. Well, good news and bad news for our next game is it involved a younger quarterback struggling, but I can get over the disgusting, tepid, nasty feeling I felt when I picked the Seahawks to win. Chris.
5 turnovers by the Bears, 2 of which were INTs that returned for a touchdown in the second half as the Seahawks beat the Bears 38-14, and the Bears' playoff hopes are fading. For the Seahawks, Tavarish Jackson, 19 for 31, 61%, 227 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs, he did lose a fumble. For the Bears, Caleb Haney, 10 for 23, 43%, 111 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 INTs.
And if I heard you correct, that would be 2 of them contributing to 12 points. 14, not counting if you count the extra points right. As well.
And then Jake McGowan came in the game late, and he was 2 for 2. The problem is one of the ones went to the other team.
Oh, he had a Vince Young-like performance. Yes, so he was 1 for 2 to the offense. Got it.
On the ground, Marshawn Lynch, 20 for 42, 2.1 average with 2 touchdowns. And for the Bears, the only one mentioning is Khalil Bell, 15 for 65, 4.3 a carry. Through the air for the Seahawks, Golden Tate, 4 for 61. Ben Obomanu had a catch for 43 yards. The Bears, Khalil Bell again, 5 for 43 with a touchdown. And Johnny Knox. 1 for 15 yards. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because he had a fumble.
Yeah, and actually he was forced to leave the game on a stretcher. He was actually he bent like back in some very strange way. And he's out for the season, and there's talk that he's gonna need repair on the vertebra involved in the injury. Which is unfortunate. I mean, we've been following Johnny Knox pretty close here on the show, so he's kind of a favorite of ours, you know, not just because he has an awesome name, but, you know, he started slow this season. He started to come around. He's made a few amazing catches when Cutler was still able to throw him the ball. But, so, I mean, we give him the best on that one. That was a very rough injury, he stated. And, I mean, spine injuries themselves are kind of a big deal, you know, citing Al Wilson, formerly of the Broncos, Priest Holmes, formerly of the Chiefs. Mike Alstott had a neck injury himself, and of course the most recent, though not a result of a single hit, but more deterioration, Peyton Manning, you know, of course. So, yeah, kind of a big deal that.
Right. It's one injury after another with the Bears.
Yeah.
The difference in this game, like I said, 5 turnovers to the Seahawks 1, but this game could have been a little worse. The Seahawks were 0 for 2 in the fourth down. They were 3 for 4 in the red zone. The Bears didn't even make it in the red zone.
So, yeah, and I mean, we cited this, albeit accidentally, making our picks last week. You said you can actually pick T-Jack against Julius Peppers and Brian Urlacher, and my response to you was Caleb Haney versus anybody? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the Bears are at, is Caleb Haney is he's not just a dumpster fire. I'm going to say he's a landfill fire. That's what is that. You think that's exaggerating a bit?
No, nah, it's kind of
it's kind of accurate.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of dumpster fires, the Saints take on the Vikings. Chris.
5 touchdowns by Drew Brees cost me going into the finals of fantasy football as they downed the Vikings 42-20.
Is that bitter I smell? Drew Brees knocked me out their fantasy playoffs. It's not fair.
Yeah. Each team's backup quarterback, however, did get time in, and they both went combined 0-for-2.
Score!
For the Saints, Drew Brees, 32 for 40, 80%, 412 yards, 5 touchdowns, no INTs. He did lose a fumble, and he was sacked 4 times.
Other than the lost fumble, I mean, that's an amazing performance with one, like, blip of a bad spot, and I heard stats today when I was talking with Tom Kernan on WTMY.com that no quarterback has achieved that high a completion rate with that many touchdowns and that many attempts. I mean, that's a ridiculous performance. Now, granted, considering the defense they're playing, I'm not shocked, but by the same token, damn.
Yeah, and besides, you know, his, I know you don't like NFL rate, QB ratings, whatever. He had a 149.2.
Wow.
Highest you can get is 158.3.
See, oh, it's the fumble. Okay, I was about to say, what keeps that from being perfect and then the fumble?
And eight incompletions.
So what? Hey, fix that. Damn it.
Yeah, that fumble, it probably would have brought him up to like 153, probably.
Give me that point, yeah. Point whatever, whatever it was. So ponder me what Christian did.
Yes, he went 14 for 31, 45%, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. On the ground, Chris Ivory, 18 for 74, 4.1 a carry. Pierre Thomas, 8 for 44, 5.5 with a touchdown. And Darren Sproles went 8 for 33. For the Vikings, Adrian Peterson came back. He's 10 for 60, 6-yard average. And through the air for the Saints, Marquise Colston, 8 for 91. Lance Moore, 5 for 91 with 2 touchdowns. Those great points for me on the bench.
Points for Chris. It doesn't matter, though. Well, you made it to the semifinals at least, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's 2 years in a row where your top player was hurt for a lot of the time, Michael Vick. And, yeah, so there you go.
All right. Darren Sproles, 5 for 79 with a touchdown. Jimmy Graham, 7 for 70 with a touchdown and a lost fumble. And Pierre Thomas also had 2 catches for 41 yards. And tight end John Gilmore had 1 catch for 2 yards and a touchdown. And for the Vikes, leading receiver was Tobey Gearhart.
Tobey. That's for you, Weasel.
He was 4 for 46 with 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
No one else was really mentioning for the Vikings, as, you know, Chris Ponder only had 120 yards and, you know, 40-something percent of it went to Tobey.
Tobey.
So on the first downs for the Saints, 36 to the Vikings, 12. Total yards, 573 to 207.
Well, and the magic percentage of the day is 100%. I might be getting ahead of you, but it's something
the red
I just
zone,
saw. Yeah,
both teams were 100%.
Five for five
and 2 for 2. And then third down percentage, 73% for the Saints, 29% for the Vikings.
Oh, see, you rounded up. I didn't round up. I had 72 and 28, so those two added up to 100%. So there's 300% in those stats. I don't know. Whatever. Numerology sucks. Anyway. So with that, we head over to the game that Chris and I attended personally. Of course, I use the term game very loosely. I mean, sure, it was great drinking beer on a bus while eating Cool Ranch Doritos. And, well, the video could have been better with some, you know, cowboy history thing. And it really reminded me how many losses and important games that the Cowboys have as a franchise. But all that aside, the Cowboys won this game 31-15. Tony Romo went 20 for 30, so about 77%, 249 yards with 3 touchdowns. Really, that was kind of the theme for the night. It was the Bucs defense being virtually non-existent. Romo did lose a fumble, however. But as did Josh Freeman, that set up the first Cowboys touchdown during his night, where he went 17 for 27, 63%, 148 yards with a touchdown. On the ground, Felix Jones had 22 carries for 108 yards, about 4.9 a carry. And Sammy Morris, former Patriot, 12 carries, 53 yards, 4.4 a carry. So proof there that there was a lot of running against this Buck defense. Not really shocked at that either. I mean, yeah. Albert Haynesworth somebody needs to stop paying this guy. I'm just saying. Josh Freeman ran the ball a few times himself, 4 carries for 37 yards, 9.25 a carry. While LeGarrette Blount had 9 carries for 2.3 a carry, could be argued that the Blount was smoked. I'm just saying. Jason Witten had 4 catches, leading the Dallas Cowboys receiving effort with 77 yards. Miles Austin had 5 catches for 53 with a touchdown. Dez Bryant had 4 for 40 with a touchdown. And Laurent Robinson made an appearance, 3 catches, 29 yards with a touchdown. Running back Lumpkin?
Yep.
What's this guy's first name? Lumpkin? Read the whole name just to make sure I'm not getting this right.
Craig Lumpkin.
Anyways, he had 5 catches for 50 yards, most of which were probably in the fourth quarter or the second half, I should say, when the Bucks were attempting to make a last-ditch effort. They did go for 2 to bring them in within the 2 scores, but then the Cowboys on defense just finished the job. Kellen Winslow had 4 catches for 37, and Desmond Briscoe, 3 catches, 36 yards, with a touchdown that was achieved during the Bucs-only red zone trip. Speaking of the red zone, 6 times the Cowboys were in the red zone. Again, further tribute to the lack of defense. 4 touchdowns in that time. 16-minute difference in time of possession. Yeah, so domination at its finest or its worst, I don't know.
Well, so, all 3 of Tony Romo's passes came on 3rd down, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 8, and 3rd and 5.
All 3 of the touchdown passes.
All 3 of the touchdown passes.
So,
I mean, there were, what was there, 7 for 13, I think, on 3rd down?
Yeah, it was a pretty good percentage. I think it was 53%.
So 7 for 13, and 3 of those were for touchdowns.
So, yeah, okay, so, you know, you bring him back. Let's say that those 3 touchdowns were field goals instead, and that they were, you know, 1 for 6 in the red zone. That's still a 4-point win for the Cowboys. Right. Granted, the Bucs may not have been fighting as desperately, different changes in play calling, yada, yada, yada. But for my money, not so much. Anyways, so I believe that next up we have the Giants and Redskins.
Well, someone forgot to tell the Giants that they still had a chance to make the playoffs, as their lackadaisical performance led to another loss to the Redskins, this time 23-10.
Lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Good word.
That's all you can sum it up as.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Rex Grossman, 15 for 24, 63%, 185 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs. He was sacked once. Eli Manning for the Giants, 23 for 40, 58%. 257 yards, no touchdowns, 3 INTs. He was sacked 3 times as well.
Yeah, I know he's got 3 INTs on his stats, but what about that one that went out of Hakeem Nicks's hands, that was like right in his hands and then fell into the hands of the defender? But I mean, how many times has this happened to Eli with this receiver corps?
Yeah,
seriously,
it's happened a lot last year when he had that record-breaking interception year.
Yeah, I ain't talking about just last year. I mean, you know, you're a Giants fan. This has been happening to him for a while.
Right, beginning of the year too, as well. But his beginning of the year, his passes were high, but they still went through the receiver's hands on the interceptions. They don't always do, but one of those interceptions was bad.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll get to that later.
Fair enough.
On the ground, Ryan Helu, 23 for 53, 2.3 a carry. And fullback Darryl Young, 4 for 14, 3.5 average with a touchdown. For the Giants, Ahmad Bradshaw, 10 for 58, 5.8 a carry with a touchdown. And Brandon Jacobs, 8 for 33, 4.13 a carry. Through the air for the Skins, Jabbar Gaffney, 6 for 85. And Santana Moss, 2 for 40 with a touchdown. All those came in within the first half with his catches. And for the Giants, Hakeem Nicks, 5 for 73. Mario Manningham, 3 for 57. And Victor Cruz, 5 for 44. Time of possession, the Redskins had 10 minutes more to the Giants. Even 35 minutes.
Wow.
Even. 35 minutes to 25 minutes.
That's a pretty big differential right there.
All right. Third down, 8 for 15, 53% for the Skins, 33% for the Giants. Red zone, Skins were 1 for 3. Giants were 1 for 4. Of those 1 for 4, Giants were down 23-3 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Manning threw an interception in the end zone, which he overthrew his receiver, but the corner, I guess, read it because he was like 5 yards off of the receiver in of the end zone. There was a holding call on 4th and 2 that would have been a touchdown. And it ruined the chance for a comeback victory.
Well, and it was called. There was one called back on that same drive previously too. Like, he was called a touchdown, but then they ruled that he didn't get in or something like that. But it was that same drive. It was previous to the holding. So I mean, that's 2 touchdowns that were called back and an interception in the red zone, and then, you know, on top of which we have I don't know if he would have gotten all the way to score, but I think it would have led to points if he held on to it. So that bad interception piece. So what's the difference in the score there again?
It was 23-10. They scored with 33 seconds left to make it 10.
See, Giants. So by my count, though, let's call it 13. By my count, though, we got a potential 17 points differential right there. You know, that, wow. You know? At any rate.
And there was a missed field goal. Lawrence Tynes missed a field goal late in the third quarter.
So the hits just keep on coming.
Yes. And because then Redskins got the ball. Let me see here. There we go. I lost it now.
Well, the Redskins, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and give you sexy Rexy speeches and all that, but a theme that I've been we've been discussing lately here, and that has been talked about as well when I've been talking with Tom Kernan on WTMY.com, is the NFC East is the psychologically troubled division where there are constant bouts of schizophrenia. And today, we saw the Giants have a complete lack of opportunity. I mean, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul tackled the wrong freaking guy during a red zone stand. Seriously, like, he went to tackle the guy with the ball and then went to chase another guy thinking that he had the ball, but the guy who he first thought had the ball actually had the ball and then scored a touchdown. Yeah,
that was the fullback Darryl Young on his carry for the touchdown.
Oy vey. You know, I mean, with respect, Chris, I'm glad I'm not a Giants fan because that would make me very angry. I mean, you know, you're a mild-mannered guy, fortunately, but it what a mess. So, yeah. Speaking of games that were kind of messy, the Dolphins faced off the Buffalo Bills and managed to win 30-23. Matt Moore went 10 for 20, 50%, 217 yards with two touchdowns. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, 31 for 47, 66%, 316 yards with two touchdowns. Don't think he didn't struggle, though. Three interceptions. And yeah, I think we got one there for a pick six, possibly. Yeah. Kind of a big deal. At any rate, or no, that's not a pick six. I'm sorry, I'm misreading my notes. The 76-yard touchdown in question was by Reggie Bush. Although he did lose a fumble on the day, 25 carries, 203 yards? Reggie
Bush? Yes.
You're looking at this.
25 carries, 203 yards, both her career has.
203?
203.
You sure it's not 20.3?
No. It's 203, because he had a long of 76.
True, but here's what I know for a fact. Don't even look up the stats. He didn't have no 200-yard rushing games with the Saints. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. 8.1 a carry. I'm not going to do all the math of taking out the stuff, because really, honestly, 24 for one, what is that, 117, that's still a good day. I mean, that's just short of 5 yards a carry. Let the dude have it. Daniel Thomas had some contribution of his own with 11 carries for 42 yards at about 3.8 a carry. C.J. Spiller, kind of all over the place for the Bills. He had a running touchdown and then went 9 catches for 76 yards with a touchdown as well. So kind of a big day fantasy-wise.
Yeah, those catches right there were off of a lot of them were off of slants. They moved them in motion and hit a slant. That's where his touchdown came from.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other catches were just little slants that they rolled him out and set him in motion, and he ran a slant and they just hit him on it.
I feel a sense of irony here, since that was how Reggie Bush was supposed to make a difference in the league, was running slants like that. I don't know. And do you have C.J. Spiller's rushing yards there?
Yeah, he had 12 for 91, 7.6 a carry.
Yeah, that.
He had a long of 24, but still.
I mean, that's good production. It's three interceptions, damn. I mean, four turnovers No, I'm wrong. Keep going.
Yeah, with C.J. Spiller, I mean, even if you take 24 yards out, it's still 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, going to the receiving game on the whole, Brandon Marshall had 3 catches for 84 yards for the Fins. Did lose a fumble, but did manage a touchdown.
But he also dropped 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah, that's a true statement as well.
That they settled for field goals in the first half.
More on that later. Anthony Fasano, 2 catches, 28 yards, did manage a touchdown. Stevie Johnson had 5 catches for 82 yards. And Derek Hagan, 2 catches, 12 yards with a touchdown. Here's the difference in the game here, folks. Third down, 3 for 13 for the Fins, right? 23%. Pretty bad, actually. The Bills, 0 for 11. Hey, what's the final percentage on that?
Yeah, that'd be 0.
Yeah, that's low.
And actually, that was for you, Weasel. I think a stat really going back is they are 0 for 20 in our last 20 attempts against the Dolphins.
0 for 20 attempts where?
On third down.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
All right.
At any rate...
And then, of course, the red zone, a familiar sight for the Dolphins, and the thing that kept it close, 0 for 4 in the red zone, while the Buffalo Bills themselves managed 2 for 4. Look, I don't mean to be the guy that points out a structure of an offense relying on a running back is a risky thing to do. First, we had Fred Jackson out. The Bills were screwed. Now we have the Bears out with Matt Forte's departure. Now, granted, they have the extra added bonus of losing their starting quarterback, but now they're screwed too. I mean, you know, what we might have only mentioned in passing with the Bears where Marion Barber only had like 11 carries for 33 yards, so he's not the answer. And then C.J. Spiller, I mean, he got production and he kept them in the game, but that quarterback, that lack of quarterback performance, you know, damn. I'm just saying.
Another set you missed, Brian Hartline. 3 for 69.
Oh, right.
I throw that one in there for you.
So at any rate, another game that featured quarterbacks, but in a completely different light. We have the Broncos. We have Brady. The Golden Boy matchup. Patriots-Broncos. Chris.
The Broncos led the Patriots 16-7 through the first 1.5 quarters. Doesn't sound like the Broncos.
No, it really doesn't.
But 3 straight turnovers led to 13 points for the Patriots as they went into half leading 27-16, and they ended up winning 41-23.
You know, and you talk about things that don't sound like the Broncos. What about 3 turnovers back-to-back?
Back-to-back-to-back.
I mean, that's kind of retarded. That is not a Bronco-like occurrence, but we'll talk more about that later. Go ahead and give me some stats. Right.
Tom Brady, 23 for 34, 68%, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked twice. Tebow.
Are you thinking of drinking a beer with that Tebow?
Tebow. Kind of combining the two.
Tebow. He's my buddy now. He's my Tebow. Yeah.
he was 11 for 22, 50%. 194 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. He did lose a fumble, one of the 3 turnovers, and he was sacked 4 times. Brady had a QB sneak for a touchdown.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, look, Brady's got a rushing touchdown. No. Fatman cleared the way, and he fell forward. That was no run.
That was the first one since 2009, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
2008?
Okay.
First rushing touchdown for Brady. Just
wow. I mean, they don't have the guts to have him try to do that, but I mean, this was a scratch and claw kind of game, at least in the first part of it. I mean, yeah. Anyways.
All right. For the Pats, Stevon Ridley, 11 for 65, 5.9 to carry. And Danny Woodhead, 7 for 40, 5.7 with a touchdown. And Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, 10 for 17, 1.7. But he as well had a touchdown.
So that's 3 rushing touchdowns for the Patriots.
Right. And for the Broncos, Tim Tebow, 12 for 93, 7.75 a carry with 2 touchdowns. Willis McGahee, 7 for 70, 10-yard average. He did have a long of 29, so that would bring it down to 6.8.
Well, and here's the crime about that. He had 7 for 70, and in the first quarter had to leave the game due to injury. So he was hot and then got hurt.
Right.
That's kind of a big deal.
Yes, it is. So in came Lance Ball, who had 11 for 64, 5.8 a carry with the touchdown, and they lost fumble.
So Lance Ball lost the ball. Okay, there, we said it.
Right. And he had a long of 32, so that brings his average down to 3.2. Through the air for the Pats, Aaron Hernandez, 9 for 129 yards with a touchdown. Rob Gronkowski, 4 for 53. Wes Welker, 4 for 41. And Chad Johnson, 1 for 33 with a touchdown. First touchdown of the season.
What? I thought he was cut or dead or something.
Yeah, 33-yard touchdown.
And catch. By the way, how many people in fantasy football did the Broncos piss off by keying in on Gronkowski? Seriously. Like, I needed Gronk to win my championship. Oh, what just happened? And, like, it's you know, 4 catches for 53. I mean, if that's a slow day, you're a good player, which we've established that Gronkowski is. Still campaigning for him for Offensive Player of the Year, by the way. Aaron Hernandez, though, busy day. And really, just in general, the Broncos defense had a lot of trouble tackling in the open field. And, I mean, when they found Hernandez, they just started going to no one else. I mean, you see right there, 9 catches and running all over the Broncos defense. Easily the single worst performance by the Broncos D since Tebow took over as the starter. I mean, of course, granted, also facing the best offense they've seen in the same team.
Right.
At any rate.
And for the Broncos, Daniel Thomas had 7 for 116, and Lance Ball also had 2 catches for 41 yards. For the Patriots had 26 first downs. The Broncos had 23.
Yeah, no, the offense could move. It's, I mean, this came down to mistakes. I mean, we'll get more into the detail with that in a minute here, but...
Yeah, I mean, their turnovers, I mean, that was the difference right there, was the Broncos' 3 turnovers when they had the lead, the 3 back-to-back-to-back.
Yep.
I mean, that was the difference maker right there. Third down percentage, I mean, 42% for the Patriots, 40% for the Broncos.
I mean, that's step for step.
Right. Red zone, 4 for 6, 2 for 3. Same.
Yeah, percentage-wise, at least.
And fourth downs, Patriots were 1 for 2, Broncos were 0 for 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the 0-for-2s was like a last-ditch effort towards the end of the game where, like, you know, Tebow was running all over the place, ended up being a sack where he lost 29 yards because, I mean, he was just running for his life.
Right, and then also the third turnover by Denver, I didn't mention it.
I'm glad.
Was by Quan Cosby.
Well, who's that?
He was the punt returner who muffed the punt right before the end of the half.
Like 3 seconds left on the clock right before the end of the half, something like that.
Right, because all the Patriots came out was kick a field goal.
Yep. Well, as in the words of Bill Belichick, what do you want me to do? Kick a field goal? Apparently, Quan Cosby wanted him to kick a field goal. Oh, we're winning by 6. About ready to go into the half. Here's 3 free points. Or no, excuse me. We're down only 6. Here's 3 free points, making a 2-score game before we go into the halftime. I mean, seriously. This guy would be cut like a piece of paper and on the scissors if I'm John Fox right now. That's unacceptable. I mean, you know, the defense is already played this game already bad enough to give him 6 red zone attempts. Dude, it's infuriating. I'm not mad because the Patriots won. I'm mad because of the way the Broncos came out. 3 turnovers to none? We weren't supposed to see a game like that. I feel gypped as a fan. It's kind of like back in the day when you'd do pay-per-view and get a boxing match, and it was Tyson versus Michael Spinks, and the thing was over in less than 60 seconds. I mean, that's not what I wanted to see. Anyway, you know, I mean, people, the Tebow leavers out there will probably be like, oh, we'll see him again in the playoffs. And I know that Brady and Belichick both said that publicly, but I am buying. I mean, I still believe the Broncos will make the playoffs. We predicted, you and I both predicted this loss occurring. I mean, your rankings even has it stated that the Patriots would lock division in this week. Right. And so anyways, so in light of Weasel's absence, we have his picks. Do not tell me his pick though until after I've issued mine, because, well, I'm leading still, and as the leader I'm supposed to pick first and all this other happy stuff. But how'd we do last week? What we got?
All right, you are 6-2 going into tonight's game. Weasel's 5-3, and I was 5-3.
See, 6-2 last week got my butt kicked. I lost 2 games to both of you going to 6-2. Now I gained a game on both of you. I mean, week to week, man. I'm just saying.
All right, you got the Steelers tonight. We both have the Niners, so you can even increase.
I could lose a game there too. Yeah, right. I could lose a game there. I could gain one. Yeah, right. So we got it's a differential there. I mean,
so you're up by 4 on me and 7 by Weasel right now.
And the best you can be is 3 games back, or you could be 5 games back, depending. Right. Okay. So I'm sure you have Weasel's picks already filled in.
Yes, I do.
Let's get underway. First game.
Thursday night, Texans at Colts.
Okay, you're lobbing up a softball here to start the study hall. I appreciate that. Anybody?
Nope.
Didn't think so. Texans it is. Next. Yeah. I mean, but seriously, how much does it suck to be NFL Network and try to hype that game up? Like, anyways, enough about that.
The only way you can be hyped is saying that switch Peyton Manning to probable.
That's not going to happen.
I know, but that's the only way. It's just say, hey, Manning's probable, and then an hour before kickoff, put him on the inactive list.
How many people would be trying to pick him up for fantasy? I don't know. Anyways, so, and with that, though, we mentioned Manning not playing. Bill Polian officially announcing, the GM of the Colts, announcing that Manning will be shut down for 2011.
Right. Next game is a Saturday night game. All these games are going to be on Saturday. There's only one Sunday night game this week,
which would be Packers-Bears.
Right. So we'll get to that later. So everything in between now and then is Saturday, Fins at Pats.
I know the Pats don't need it, but they're still in contention for the top spot in the AFC. And the while the Dolphins will probably try their damnedest, they will fail. I got the Pats. Chris?
I got the Pats as well. So does Weasel. Depends on what goes on tonight with the Steelers. Steelers lose. Pats will win that game to lock up home field advantage.
Right. And if the Steelers do win, I mean, they'll be fighting it out probably all the way to Week 16.
Right. Or Week 17.
So, but with both of them looking to have a pretty favorable schedule to finish out, so we'll see. All
right.
After the Niner game, I should say, the Steelers' schedule is favorable.
Bucks at Panthers.
Oh, boy. You know, after seeing what the Bucks did for the Cowboys and how amazing Cam Newton can be, I don't see how I could pick the Bucks. I got the Panthers, Chris.
I got the Panthers as well. That, you know, the Bucks defense can't stop the run. They think they're going to stop Cam Newton.
And they don't care to stop the run.
Right.
I mean, you know, look, the freaking Panthers scored off of the annexation of Puerto Rico. Okay? That's real stuff.
Yep.
It's not just a play in the little Giants anymore, son. This ain't just about Rick Moranis and Ed O'Neill. Oh, no, it happened. It happened.
And Weasel's got the Panthers as well.
Hmm.
Next, another softball for you. Rams at Steelers.
Anybody?
Nope.
Didn't think so. Steelers it is. Moving on. This is going to be a short episode at this rate.
Yes. Vikings at Skins.
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm going to do it. I got the Skins. Chris.
Yeah, this is tough. I know.
How bad do you need that game?
I want to pick the Skins, but I need a game, and I left this is the one game I left blank. Because I always pre-pick mine before I even come here.
Yep.
And sometimes I might change it, but you know what? I'm going to go with that. I'll go with the Vikings. I need a game.
He needs the game that badly.
Yes. And Weasel's got the Skins.
Ooh!
So I'm going to pick the Vikes just for that, too, as well.
A complete contrarian!
Alright. Next, Battle of New Jersey. Giants and Jets.
East Rutherford, unite. Look, dude, I don't mean to be that guy, but the Giants have a bad game and bounce back. That's what they do. And the Jets are just sappy and sad. I mean, seriously, the whooping they got from the Eagles was something proportionally just ridiculous. I got the Giants. Chris.
I'm going to go with Giants as well because Jason Pierre-Paul and Justin Tucker are going to be too much for Sanchez. He's going to get flustered.
Again.
Right. And even though the Giants secondary is not all that great.
They don't need to be.
They're going
to
benefit off of this week. I got the Giants.
Homer. See, right. Either way, you were screwed. Yes,
right. And Weasel's got the Giants as well.
Not much for the contrarian this week. All right.
Crappy games. Jags at Titans.
This is really... for me, this is the single most difficult game to pick. I feel like if they play Jake Locker, that Locker will have a better game than Gabbert. But see, here's the problem. Pocket Hercules. The kid they call Mojo. Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be a difference maker. Thing about it is, can he make enough of a difference? I don't think so. I got the Titans. Chris.
I'm going to change my pick. I'm going to go with the Jags just because.
Contrarian!
I'm trying to get up the games. There's only two more weeks. I know we got playoffs, but you know what?
Playoffs? All
right.
Playoffs? You need to get some games.
Yeah,
don't talk about playoffs.
I know I need to get the games. I can go up or down because Weasel's got the Titans as well.
Ooh.
So I'm going to go with the Jags in this one.
Hey, this is what got you in trouble last season, though.
I know.
Okay.
I'm going with them. I got to go with them.
Okay.
I'd rather lose further down without taking a chance than just be the Saints.
I'd rather go down fighting.
Right. Instead of like, okay, I'm 3 games back again. Look, but
if both y'all are 10 games back when the playoffs start, I mean, that doesn't make for good radio doing the picks.
All
right. Yeah. Anyways, what's next?
Bears at Packers.
Anybody?
Oh, nope, we all got the Packers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then next Monday night, Falcons at Saints.
This is very interesting. But, yeah, I don't think the Falcons have enough. Saints, Chris.
I got the Saints as well. The Niners lose tonight. Saints win next week, they could lock up that second place.
And and even whether they have a chance to lock up or not, they'll need to win to keep pace. So that's a huge deal.
Yeah, so I'm going with the Saints, and Weasel's got the Saints as well.
Not very many differences.
No, he picks exactly the same as you. That's why I had to change those two picks.
Wow.
I had to just change those two picks just to make something different. Otherwise, we'd all be same as we are this week.
No kidding.
So
I'm
taking the chance.
So you were thoroughly contrarian. I'm not trying to make fun of you. This, like, you know, that's what got you in trouble last year was doing that.
I know, but you know what? That's worst case. I'm still gave up on Weasel.
Okay. I can get behind that. I can get behind that. That'll work. That'll work. So at any rate, that'll wrap us up for week 15 action. Look for me and possibly Chris appearing live in studio on WTMY.com on December 26th. We'll still have our show up before we make that trip out there. But tune in, WTMY.com. And actually, pretty much 4 o'clock every week this week, every day this week, as far as I understand, should be hearing from at least me, the student of the game, calling in to Tom Kernan at the afternoon play-by-play. And yeah, just look out for that. Big deal for us here, you know, getting on the airwaves as well as the internet waves, so to speak. Go ahead and follow our normal show, of course, on www.thestudentofthegame.com. Email us at thesotg@gmail.com, or of course Twitter us at thesotg. Subscribe to us on iTunes. So many ways to find us, and it's good times when you do. At any rate, hearing no other questions, class dismissed.